This week's episode, we truly felt like was a long time coming, and I've actually even had a few people in my real life request this specific topic, so I couldn't be more excited to dive into it. Today, we're going to be covering haunted dolls.
All right, Em, what is going on? How you feeling?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm dealing with whatever is going around that everybody has. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sinuses, the headaches, you know, it's a blast.
It's the after the holiday sickness.
Yeah, and the fact, like, my door's broken at work. Mm. So if we have a unit in one bay, I can't work inside.
Ah.
So it's even better.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we get started, I am Nick, and
I'm Em.
That is Em, and we are pretty stoked to dive into these haunted dolls. It's been definitely a talking point that we've wanted to get into.
Yeah, long time coming.
Yeah.
On this journey today, we're going to be starting with one of the most famous haunted dolls around, Robert. Robert is a one-of-a-kind handmade doll created around the turn of the 20th century by the Stief Company in Germany. For nearly 70 years, he was the close companion of Jean Otto, who treated the doll like a real person. Jean and Robert were best friends growing up. Legend suspects voodoo played a part in Robert's formative years, while interviews with those close to the Otto family indicate a great deal of emotional energy was placed upon the doll during Jean's lifetime. It is said that young Jean would shift blame when he misbehaved as a child, pointing to the doll and saying, "Well, I didn't do it, Robert did it." And I feel like if you didn't try to pay, like, if you had, like, a doll or, like, a... I feel like I've tried to do that. I was like, "Well, no, it wasn't me, it was my stuffed animal."
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
You're just gonna look to blame.
Right. I'm just gonna blame it. While Robert seemed like an ordinary cloth doll, it wasn't long before Robert was involved in strange and somewhat alarming events. It's not known how or why this child's toy could genuinely torment humans, but weird and inexplainable events happened to people surrounding Jean and the Otto family. Jean's parents often heard their son talking to the doll and getting a response back in a totally different voice. They also described seeing the doll changing expressions when they spoke around him. Could you imagine you're, like, sitting in the other room and you hear your child talking to a doll and a completely different voice answers? That, like, you know couldn't be your, possibly your child.
Yeah.
You're like, well, now what?
Yeah.
That's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, well, now what? Because the whole house has to go.
She's either really talented or we've got problems.
Right. She's either have a great special talent that we're going to get into, or we've got ghosts. Robert continued to live with Jean throughout his life, and after Jean's parents died, he moved his wife Anne into the home. Anne felt uncomfortable with Robert in the house. She demanded that Jean lock up the doll in the attic where he could do no harm. Jean consented to locking the doll up. Some believe that Robert was not happy with the new living arrangement. Soon, visitors to the artist's house, which is what they called the house. I feel like I didn't do a great job of saying that that's what the house was called. It's called the artist's house.
Okay.
Soon, visitors to the artist's house reported hearing footsteps in the attic and childish giggling. Neighborhood kids described seeing Robert watching them from the attic window. Those same children gave accounts of the dolls actually mocking them as they walked in front of the house. Following Jean Otto's death, Robert remained in the attic of Otto House under the supervision of the new owners, William and Myrtle Reuter. After a few years, Myrtle sold the Eaton Street house and moved to Von Pfister Street, taking Robert with her. In 1994, she donated Robert to the Key West Art and Historical Society, claiming he moved around her house on his own and was haunted. Since he was donated to the society, Robert has been on display at the Fort East Martello Museum along with his friend Leo. The museum welcomes visitors to see Robert, be respectful, ask permission to take his photograph if you stop by.
That's a thing too, right? You have to ask permission.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, something like stuff happens.
Yeah, your camera is gonna get like messed with. Like, yeah, you should be respectful when you're addressing these dolls.
I don't know how deep you dive into this, but isn't there a thing where somebody took a picture of him and didn't ask permission, and then like a day or so later or something like that, he got killed on a motorcycle accident or something? I'm pretty sure.
could have been, and I missed it, but yeah. I do get into the fact that, like, if you do not ask and take a picture, and you're, yeah, you'll yep. see. It's not the smartest thing to do. After he was put on exhibit at Fort East Martello Museum, cameras and electronic devices malfunctioned in his presence. And soon, letters began arriving addressed to the doll offering apologies for disrespectful behavior or asking forgiveness because things would start going wrong in their daily mm-hmm. lives. Like, they would literally, they were so desperate that they were apologizing to the doll and sending him letters.
Yeah, it's like those places where they tell you, like, don't take the rocks or anything like that. And people yeah. are like, oh, whatever, I'll take the rock. And then they send the rock back because they're like, my life turned, like, way south.
Right, it's almost like, we should have listened and not done it.
Yeah.
Ghost hunters, TV shows, psychics, skeptics, and believers visit Robert on a regular basis to witness firsthand the strange stories they've heard. A Solares Hill newspaper reporter, Malcolm Ross, visited Robert and had a very eerie experience with the doll. Ross's friends told him Robert's backstory and pointed out the children's furniture had been purchased by Jean. It was at this point Malcolm noticed a change in the doll's expressions as if he was following the conversation. One of the men made a comment about what an old fool Jean Otto must have been. Robert's expression turned to one of disdain. He says, quote, there was some kind of intelligence there. The doll was listening to us. That's, like, crazy. Like, yep. absolutely wild. Tenants running rooms at the artist's house heard footsteps in the attic room above them where Robert was kept. A plumber heard giggling and turned to find the doll had moved across the room on his own. Many believe that the origin of Robert's evil lies in the one who originally gave him to Jean Otto, the servant who worked for Jean's parents. This woman was supposedly mistreated by her bosses, and to punish them, it's believed that she cursed the doll with voodoo and black magic, which I did not know that that was his origin. I don't know where I thought that, like, his, like, haunting and stuff, like, the theory of where his haunting came from, but I didn't know that it was that.
Well, she cursed the doll to get back at her and gave it to her.
To her crappy bosses. Mm-hmm. Say, here, deal with this for the rest of your life. I mean, hey. It might explain the mysterious yeah. and frightening experience that people have had with Robert.
It's what it is.
But if that was the case, wouldn't the haunting end when, like, the parents and, like, he died, wouldn't you think?
No. I don't know, because I think, like, voodoo and stuff, there's a good episode on voodoo and everything on Graveyard Tales.
Yeah.
But, I think voodoo is, and don't hold me to this, but I think it's a sort of, like, witchcraft, and I think with, like, witch bags, like, those, like, bags that they could curse you with, and, like, they mm-hmm. hide it around you or something, like, even if the witch dies, like, I believe that it would still keep going, because right. the only way to get rid of it is, like, finding the bag and destroying yeah. the bag, I mm-hmm. think.
Well,
we could use some help on that one.
There we go.
If you know anything about
we'll get into it.
Yep. Yep. Reach out.
No one really knows for sure what his origin is, but one thing remains constant. Robert the doll continues to taunt and scare those who come to view him, especially guests to the museum who attempt to take photos, like I mentioned. Many have reported their cameras becoming inoperable when they tried to take a picture of Robert, only for them to begin working again when they left the museum. Robert the doll sits inside a glass case, but it doesn't seem to stop him from inflicting fear and discomfort to museum staff and visitors. So is he cursed by voodoo? Is he thriving on the energy that was placed upon him by Jean through just being his bestie and talking to him his whole life? Is he a misunderstood doll with a playful spirit, or perhaps just a doll joined by the spirit of his lifelong companion? That's left up to his visitors to decide, which, if you are interested, you can meet him to this day. Visitors are welcome to view him in a special case at the museum, and of course encouraged to try to get a photo, though most who have tried have been unsuccessful. If nothing else, get a close look at Robert and watch him carefully. Try to catch a glimpse of him smirking at you, or moving about in his case, watching you as you watch him.
It's crazy that, I mean, he's probably got those eyes if you, well, I guess you, there's no pictures, but.
There's a
he's,
few.
He's probably got the them. Eyes that, like, no matter where you are in the room, they look like they're
yeah,
looking
they
at
look
you.
Like you. Yeah.
Yeah. So next up on our haunted doll journey is Mandy. In 1991, a woman donated an old doll to the Quetzal and District Museum in British Columbia, Canada. She told the museum's curator that the doll was old and that she didn't want her daughter to play with it. Now, it's believed that the doll is at least a century old. The doll's name is Mandy. And for a doll, Mandy is certainly creepy looking. Her eyes are made of glass, and her right one is cracked, which just gives creepy vibes.
Yep, immediately.
Her clothes also need a good cleaning. She definitely wasn't ready for an audience and needed some mending before her public unveiling. So the museum staff placed Mandy inside a plastic bag to make sure that if there were any insects in her, they would die. And although they didn't find any insects inside the bag, what employees did claim was that the doll changed positions and the bag rustled by itself. Some staff members felt uncomfortable with the doll from the moment that it got there. And everybody gets that. Like,
yeah.
Frank will get a vibe. Mm-hmm. She'll walk into, like, an antique store and we'll walk to, like, a corner. She'll be like, nope, get out of this corner. I don't like it.
Yep.
And people just get that vibe from things. And I'm sure if they were doing there, I'm not going to go in there with that doll. No way. Now, before the museum staff placed Mandy into her display, she was left in a room alone. When the staff returned the next morning, the entire room was in disarray. It appears as if someone had tossed the lighter items around the room and pushed all the larger ones onto the floor. And since no one had been in that room, their only reasonable explanation was Mandy threw a tantrum and destroyed the room. But that didn't make any sense, because dolls aren't alive. The museum brought in a psychic to examine Mandy. The psychic claimed that the spirit of a deceased little girl possessed the porcelain doll. Oh, and she's porcelain.
I was literally just going to say porcelain dolls are just like, nope.
I tried playing a prank on M one time and leaving a porcelain doll in her seat after. I was like, yeah, we're getting rid of these.
Mm-hmm.
And did Frank ruin it?
I don't remember.
Did we tell you about it before you got down here?
I don't remember. I think I saw it before I was, like, supposed to see it.
That might have been it.
Or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Already scared me enough.
It didn't work, but anyway. According to the legend, the girl who occupies Mandy got trapped and died in her basement. She died holding Mandy. Somehow, the child's spirit transferred into the doll where it remains today. Obviously, the psychic's comments stirred up much curiosity in the curator. She visited the doll's donor to find out more about Mandy, and the curator soon learned the truth. Newsflash, the woman didn't get rid of the doll because of her daughters, as she originally said.
I feel like I could have told you that. Like, here's this really old doll. I just, like, really don't want my daughter to play with it. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Good luck.
I would have totally been like, especially at a museum, I would have been like,
right.
Okay, what am I going to do with this doll?
Right.
I guess because it was old? I don't know. What she told the curator next was downright terrifying. The woman claimed she heard a baby crying in her basement. She then went into the basement to investigate. Nothing. It was just Mandy and an open window with a breeze blowing on the curtains. But who opened the window? Apparently this happened regularly. The donor decided to find a new home for Mandy. Once she donated Mandy to the museum, the crying stopped. Museum visitors claim that they feel an uneasiness whenever they see Mandy. Employees claim she is tapped on her glass enclosure. At one time, a toy lamb was placed inside with Mandy's case, which apparently didn't thrill Mandy because the lamb was found outside the case.
Which is just, like, so funny.
So she can,
like,
open up the case.
She's like, I actually don't like this.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in my case, but I don't like the lamb, so see ya.
I don't want the lamb in here. Get it out.
The doll has never harmed anyone. Supposedly, she is childlike and just throws temper tantrums whenever she is unhappy. Mandy is also known as a prankster and enjoys playing pranks on museum employees and volunteers. Employee lunches, pens, pictures, and personal items have disappeared, and some items have shown up while others are still missing. It's also been said her eyes and fingers can move. Supposedly, the uneasiness created by her has to do with her eyes following you every step. She also has a fascination with electrical items. Much like our first doll, Robert, people who've tried to record her with a video camera only have the camera stop working. In 1999, a book titled Supernatural Stories Around British Columbia profiled Mandy and the museum.
I like Mandy.
Yeah, Mandy seems cool.
Right, like, she's not, like, threatening. Like, she's just, like, a little, I'm going to play some tricks on you. I like my things how I like it.
You know what's funny to me is the fact that we're not sure what's going on with the doll, but we know the doll can do things outside the glass case. Why do we not try to, like, secure the doll in the case? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what you would do to...
A little, like...
Well, think of, like, the Warren Museum.
Yeah.
Like, what do they do to keep everything in that room?
It's true. These are all...
Why would we not...
Good question.
At this point, if we assume the doll's haunted or something like that, why would we not kind of, like, try and just seal it in that case and be done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You would think.
Yeah.
It's definitely easier said than done.
That's what my thought is.
Now, this next doll is definitely the one that I found most fascinating while doing the research, because I hadn't heard of this one before, and it's absolutely insane. I'm very excited to tell you guys about this one. So the doll was bought in Sapporo by a 17-year-old Akichi Suzuki in 1918 for his 2-year-old sister, Okiku. The doll instantly drew his eyes. The perfect little thing sat on a shop window, enticing him. Suzuki didn't think twice. He went in and instantly purchased the figurine for his sister. He actually used the last of his money to buy it. At about 40 centimeters tall and dressed in a traditional kimono, the doll was exquisite. Its hair was raven black and cut to roughly shoulder length in a traditional Okapa hairstyle. Suzuki went back home and gave the doll to his little sister. It almost immediately became Okiku's favorite toy, and more importantly, her best friend. She played every day with the doll, took it everywhere, and treated the figurine like a little sister. Sound familiar? She would talk to it, feed it, sleep with it. She decided to call the doll Okiku, a mirror duplicate of herself. The doll never left her sight. Then, a year later, tragedy struck. In 1919, Okiku died. Yellow fever had reached the family, and unfortunately, she passed away. Okiku, the doll, was alternatively located in the family's altar, a common practice in certain Japanese households to commemorate the dead. The small shrine celebrated their daughter and marked her passing into the afterlife. One day, the family started to notice that the traditional shoulder-length cut with neat ends was now a mangled mess of split ends, reaching down past her waist. It was scruffy, different colors, and certainly felt different. Which is, what do you mean? Like,
yeah,
what do you mean?
It changed wild.
Right. The weird events intensified and grew into full-blown acts of spiritual infestation. Lights flickering on and off, bangings in the house, noises, and strange voices. The closer the year got to certain key dates, like her birthday or the anniversary of her passing, they got worse. Over time, they were certain, and town shamans / spiritual leaders agreed that their daughter's soul was in fact trapped within the doll. In 1938, the family relocated to a different district. They had by now become accustomed to Okiku and had even grown kind of fond of their daughter's restless spirit. To them, it was a magical and unique opportunity to interact with the dead. They didn't want to take Okiku with them, fearing that what fueled her magic was the proximity to their daughter's grave. Family approached the local temple and asked them to take care of the doll. Which I feel like was a smart move, because what if that was, why the doll can act like that? It's like the proximity to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that they were thinking of that, they were like, alright, let's keep her here. The temple, by now, had heard countless stories of the amazing doll, the haunted doll whose hair grew every year, and they were fascinated. The priests gleefully accepted the charge and started taking care of Okiku. Over time, they've managed to confirm the veracity of some of the claims, particularly that the hair indeed does grow. The priests have sent out cut samples of the hair for scientific analysis. Scientific examination of Okiku proved that the hair was that of a human child, which is wild. Sent it to an analyst and confirmed that the hair is hair from a human child.
That is...
What do you mean?
Really, really weird.
Like... Regularly, the hare gets a trim, and the doll stays happy and content. After the years passed on, the doll's fame grew and her powers further developed. She's bolder now, and it's said that she invades the dreams of the priest and those who come to visit her. She's stronger, her hair grows faster and wilder, and she's even spookier. The latest event driving tourists mad is the frightening claim is that the mouth of Okiku is slowly opening, and that if you dare to peer inside, you may be able to glimpse something like baby teeth sprouting like weeds from porcelain gums. Could you imagine
if,
like, her mouth is starting to, like, open?
Yeah, she's, like, I don't know, she just ages so much slower than we are, or she's, like, coming to life so much slower than we age.
So, like, it's so, like, crazy.
100 years from now, she's actually, like, a living thing.
There's so many, like, different theories that I feel like you could run with this one. Yeah. It, literally, I feel like I was sitting with it for so long. I was like, what do you mean her hair grows?
Yeah.
That's where you've already lost me there.
And the fact that you found that they had it tested and it comes back as human
hair.
Right.
I wonder if they, like, try to do a DNA analysis, like, with, like...
I thought that right away, too. I thought they were talking, like, a DNA analysis,
right,
too.
Like, they could have, like... If they sent it to an analysis for, like, that, why couldn't you test it to see if it was...
Okiku? This,
yeah, like, actually... Which yeah. would be wild. Like, it comes back and, like, all their DNA matches. Wild!
That would be super spooky.
Yeah.
So... I'm sure all of you have been waiting.
I'm on the edge of my seat, personally.
Because there's one famous doll that, well, I'd say is pretty famous. Yeah. I mean, when you start getting movies and stuff made about you, you're pretty famous.
Full on, like, movies that are really good, too. Like, yeah. I really like these movies.
Yeah. They are outstanding movies. Mm-hmm. So you haven't guessed it yet. We're talking about Little Miss Annabelle.
Oh, you know, just Little Miss.
Yeah, Little Miss. She is perhaps the most well-known haunted doll. She's a Raggedy Ann doll, which is named Annabelle. Her story was adapted by filmmakers in 2013, although that doll didn't look at all like the actual Annabelle. Because if you have a Raggedy Ann Annabelle in that movie, mm-hmm. then it's a comedy.
Yeah.
So I feel like you had to take the... What is it? Creative leap or the creative, I don't know, something.
Liberty.
Yeah, creative liberty mm-hmm. to change it.
Yeah.
The real Annabelle was given to a young nurse as a birthday present by her mother in 1970. The Raggedy Ann doll was brand new when it was first bought. So Donna, the nurse, loved the doll, and it was given a prominent spot in the house she shared with her friend Angie. Shortly after the doll found her home, the roommate started noticing strange things. The doll would move around on its own accord, and little notes saying, "Help me," were found.
Which immediately would be enough for me to be like, no.
Finding a help me note anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay, especially in my house when it's just me and Angie and...
Just me and my girl.
Annabelle.
Yeah.
Okay. That was it for the girls. They called in a medium... who explained that the doll was inhabited by a deceased 7-year-old named Annabelle Higgins. The girl's body was found years before on the site where the nurse's apartment was built. The doll asked the girls if she could stay through the medium, and they felt sorry for the doll and its spirit, and they agreed, which is never a good thing.
Right. Like, I don't care how bad I feel for this doll or this poor little 7-year-old girl. Like, I'm so sorry, girl, but, like, this is not the place that you want to be. I want you to cross over.
Ghost whisper that shit. Show her the light.
Yeah, like, not here.
Yep. When Angie's boyfriend, Lou, was over, he heard rustling sounds in the living room. He thought it was burglars. So, of course, you know, he jumps up, probably in his underwear, grabs a bat.
Whole nine.
Or something, the whole nine. That's creative liberties. But when he checked it out, all he found was a doll laying face down on the floor. When he went back to pick her up, he experienced a sudden pain in his chest. There were bloody claw marks all over his chest. The attack on Lou was so violent that the girls decided to call in help from the iconic demonologist couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Literal icons.
We just mentioned them.
It's almost like we were just talking about them.
It's like you can almost talk about them with all this stuff. The couple didn't waste any time, and they arrived shortly after being called. They soon discover the doll had tricked the other medium. There was no little girl spirit inside that doll. It was a demon.
Surprise, shawty!
Surprise! The evil demon... Well, I guess all demons are evil, when you think about it.
True.
The good demon.
The good demon.
So the demon wanted to stay in, stay with the girls so he could possess them later. And Lorraine took Annabelle with them to their occult museum in Monroe, Connecticut. There she was placed inside a glass chest, and a warning was placed near the chest saying positively, do not open.
I feel like if you know anything about Annabelle, like, you can immediately, like, I can see the handwritten note, like, the thing that says positively, do not open.
We went for a vacation up there before the baby was born. We brought Kobe. It was actually, like, a year almost to the date when he tore his ACL, and they told us we need to get him, like, walking, so we took him up to Connecticut to go check out, I think it was a park or a trail called, like, Devil's Peak or something like that, and long story short, we were supposed to stay in a hotel two nights, we only stayed one, because it was not very nice, it was disgusting, and... So we didn't stay the second night, and we decided to, like, come home the next day. But what we did is we pit stopped at the little town that inspired Gilmore Girls.
Love.
And then we were going to swing by Ed and Lorraine Warren's museum, but it was closed.
Ridiculous.
I know. So we were going to go and get swing by and see it.
I know, I want to go so bad.
Yep. I don't know. Well, I guess now we can get into it later. However, even one of the most haunted dolls in America needs to get out and about sometimes, right?
No. Yeah, like, not? I actually don't think so. I think that we should listen to Ed and Lorraine when they said positively, do not open.
Yeah, don't open.
I don't know.
Can you just, if you have to, can you just put her on a dolly and wheel her around? Why open the cage?
Even that, I feel like, is a little too much for me. Like, yeah, leave her in the museum where she is residing.
Stay there.
Like, I don't like it.
Stay right here.
Yep.
The other crazy thing is like, so we have that one story where she attacked the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And now we put her away, and now she has, what, four movies about how she's done all these killings?
Literally.
Insane. I wonder if she gets any royalties out of that. The real-life Annabelle doll was blamed for a string of alarming incidents by conspiracy theorists that claim it has escaped while on tour in New Orleans. But its owner confirmed it's safely back home and was never out of his control, saying, quote, the doll was never out of our control. We take the extreme precautions when handling or transporting the doll, end quote. Why would we transport the doll?
Right, like, I just, and also, if she did escape, I feel like we're certainly not going to tell the public that she escaped.
No. Nope.
Like, oh yeah, she just happened to get out of my sight. I don't know where she could have gone.
She just poof.
Right, I'm not telling the world that.
No, why not? So the precautions, which include having a Catholic priest traveling with Annabelle, apparently weren't enough for some observers who believe the doll's stint in New Orleans on May 13th and 14th. This was last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
25.
Yes.
Yeah. May 13th and 14th was a bad omen. An inferno destroyed the historic Nottoway Plantation House between Baton Rouge and New Orleans on May 15th. And the next day, 10 inmates escaped from the New Orleans Justice Center. Since then, most of the inmates have been recaptured.
I say most because, as of right now, to this day, I'm pretty sure two of them are still not accounted for.
Isn't there, I think there's a wild story, too, with them.
Yeah.
The plantation house is wild, too, because how I don't know if she was connected to that or if, like, she stayed at that plantation house. Like,
I
think that was the weird thing about it, because Annabelle was at the plantation house.
Right.
And then, like, the day after she was at the plantation house, it burnt down. Just or
fully, like, burnt down.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. Like, this was a historic home.
Yep.
And just gone.
Yep.
Whether you believe that was Annabelle or the proximity was simply just a coincidence, it's entirely up to you.
I just don't see it being a coincidence.
I don't think it's a coincidence. You take her out, and then all of a sudden...
Right, like, you take her out, and everywhere you go on this tour and this, like, thing, bad and weird crap is happening.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
There was once a wild senior who said, "I don't believe in coincidences anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And then flop.
Yeah, and then what happened with that? Anyway.
Flatline. So... the most recent significant event involving an owner or handler of the Annabelle doll was the death of paranormal investigator Dan Rivera in July of 2025, who died of natural cardiac-related causes in Gettysburg, PA. It was a hotel while the doll was on tour, and the authorities confirmed his death was not suspicious and the doll was not in his room. Still,
I just don't.
There's something weird about it.
Right, like, that's way too big of a coincidence for me. Like,
yeah, she's on tour, she's in Gettysburg with
him. You're her handler, like, yep. And you, yeah, I don't know.
Yep. And I remember for a while, they said she was missing.
Yeah.
She just vanished.
Right, like everybody, it was like a whole thing. There was also, when she was in Gettysburg, I'm pretty sure there was, like, a huge power... It wasn't a power outage. It was, like, a...
a surge or something?
Yeah, like, a power surge or something happened.
I do remember something like that happening.
I remember something like that happening.
There was something else weird that happened. Yeah.
What the heck? Like, maybe it's time we put her back.
Yeah. Riviera, he was the handler of the doll, which is part of the Warren Occult Museum collection... and his death was ultimately ruled natural, though it's definitely sparked some online speculation. I don't see how it wouldn't.
Right. Like, once again, the coincidence is here. Mm-hmm. There's just, that's a lot of coincidences.
Yeah. And they were saying, I think we were just talking about it too before we dove into this episode, that I think comedian Matt Rife now owns the Warren House.
Yeah, so technically, I'm pretty sure he is the owner of the Annabelle doll.
Yeah.
What he is doing with it, I'm not sure.
Probably stand up.
he brings her on tour with her.
I mean, I could be completely making this up, but I do think I did hear that he's, like, big into it, and... yeah. He does want to, like, respect it and everything.
Well, that's good. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I'd hope.
And I hope that she goes back into that museum and she is never taken out again.
Just stay in the museum.
Positively do not open.
Do we know where Annabelle is now?
Where is she right now?
I don't know.
Let's.
They should make, like, a webcam that just sits on her.
Yeah, like, give her, like, a tracker or something. Why haven't we done that with, like, all of the haunted objects in the world?
Probably because it just doesn't, it, like, ends up working. What was I looking at? Annabelle doll. And,
where is she right now?
Missing.
Right, it's literally the first thing that comes up, but it's a huge conspiracy theory. I think she was missing. Yeah, as of late 2025, the real Annabelle doll is typically secured in its glass case in the museum. Though its guardians, including comedian Matt Rife, have been touring it and other artifacts across U.S. So, I don't know. Maybe she's taking a break.
Maybe.
She's not currently on tour right now.
Yeah.
She's taking a sabbatical.
Yeah.
She is creepy, though.
She is. Raggedy Ann's are not...
is very creepy.
Yeah, they're not the most uncreepy dolls.
No.
She's not a porcelain doll. But
she isn't
up there.
A porcelain doll, which for some reason porcelain dolls are creepier to me, and I think that's because my mom had so many when I was a kid that, like, they just freaked me out.
My Aunt Marie on my dad's side had a bedroom. She would go over her house every Christmas Eve, and I remember my cousin and I would go upstairs. And my sister was probably there too, but I always remember my sister being like, younger, yeah. So she didn't, like, follow us too much, and it was always me and Kev getting, like, just going off doing these things.
Yeah.
And we'd, like, go upstairs just to go and, like, peek in this room, because on the bed, she just, all these porcelain dolls, and we were just, like, oh, my God.
No,
we were
always, so like, terrified of it. Right? Like, you feel like the eyes are following you.
I couldn't.
I hate it.
Yeah.
There's been countless stories of haunted dolls. This is simply just the tip of the iceberg. We gave you 4 here, and I'm sure we could give you 4,000 more. If we happened to miss one that you'd really like to hear us cover, make sure you send it over to us. I'm sure we'll get around to doing a dolls part 2 at some point.
Definitely. Just like with the weed in for your torture devices.
Yeah.
That's the second one. Yes. That's part 2 will be coming.
That was one of my favorite episodes that we've ever done, so you bet your bottom dollar that'll be part 2.
It did get lost in the sauce for a little bit.
But it did. It's coming back
around. Part 2 will come.
It's coming.
We hope tonight is a reminder to always keep an eye on the dolls around you, because you never know which one is actually watching you back and waiting. Until next week, see ya.
See ya.